I want to extend glad tidings to all who profess the name of Jesus. He is the one who created a way for us to be reunited with Yahweh, our God, and His Heavenly Father. I'm Pastor Jefferson, and you're now listening to DWJD's audio teaching sermon series. We're now up to audio sermon number 58. The title of today's message is, They Hated Jesus First. As you are doubtless aware, we've been proceeding through Matthew chapter 24, the little apocalypse chapter, where we are studying the words of Jesus regarding the signs marking the end of the age of Adam. We've been in the process of covering the first 14 verses, which are where Jesus gives us the signs marking his return. Today, we're going to be talking about the persecution of the Gentiles, as well as the Jews. The first 8 verses we've been discussing, Jesus described them as being like unto a woman's labor. Just like a woman progressing along in childbirth, the signs he enumerated will become not only more intense, but will happen with increasing frequency the closer we get to his return. You know, Jesus using the idea of a woman's labor to depict an increase in the signs marking the approach of the end of the age was not by accident. Jesus is not making use of some clever literary tactic or the adroit use of words either. He's making a most dramatic statement. He, in essence, is drawing a line in the sand. These signs Jesus mentions are all just simply a prelude to the time when things for both Jews and Christians will become unlivable. As you've heard me say, the world of those believing in Messiah is shortly headed for 7 years of a plentiful soul harvest, followed by 7 years of horrible soul famine. Open your Bible now to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9. It says, Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations, because of my name. The first thing we see is that the verse is speaking of two different time periods. Thought one says that Christians and Jews will be delivered to tribulation. Once more, Jesus here is prophesying about two things. First, immediately upon the conclusion of the 7 years of plenty, the time the Bible calls the tribulation will begin. The start of this event is marked by a man who will become the Antichrist, gets Israel to sign a firm treaty where they agree to cease all operations in their rebuilt temple. Speaking of the third temple, they will do so in exchange for the lifting of sanctions brought on by a worldwide embargo. The short version of the story is the Hebrew people are going to soon demolish the Dome of the Rock to make way to build their new temple on the site. When they do that, it will cause a series of events which will result in the nation of Israel being boycotted by the rest of the world, except for perhaps the United States and a few other close allies. This is what thought one means when it says, Then they will deliver you to tribulation. This will mark the beginning of the final 7 years of this age, culminating with the second coming of Christ. So the first prophecy Jesus states here is that the world will see the arrival of a time period the Bible describes as the tribulation. Now, within this 7 year period of famine, in regard to a soul harvest, the forces of the Antichrist will begin persecuting the Hebrews first, followed closely by the Christians. The devil and his demonic followers are going to take every measure imaginable to try and thwart the worship of Almighty God and His Son, Jesus. So the right to worship Yahweh in the public forum will be taken away. But it doesn't stop there. Jesus is also warning that Satan will also be coming after us. The word we find for they will deliver we see in thought one is paradosousin, and it means to be betrayed, handed over, or to be surrendered. It comes from two Greek words, para, which means close beside, and didomi, which means to give. Thus, the Christians and Jews are going to be betrayed by those friends, co-workers, and neighbors closest to them. The word we see for tribulation is phlipsin, and translates to be persecuted, afflicted, and to be made to feel pressure. The meaning of the word gives the idea of hemming someone in, to constrict them by making them feel confined. Those who are being persecuted are going to experience an internally driven feeling of having no way to escape. So just imagine for the moment that you, just having witnessed on television, the man who will become the Antichrist, ink a strong covenant with the nation of Israel. At this time, you will know for certain that the tribulation, as spoken of in Scripture, has begun. I ask you, unless you are a fully fledged apostle of Christ, how will you be feeling in that moment? How will it be to watch as all religious liberty and freedom is slowly eliminated from society by laws which are patently unfair, but are still being ruthlessly enforced against Christians and Jews? I'd venture to say that at that moment, you will know precisely what Jesus is saying here. Now, for those who are fully fledged, they will not be worried in the least, as they will have the level of faith instilled within them to weather any storm which satanic forces might try and bring. Plus, they will know that they will be leaving the earth shortly, prior to any serious threat can be made against them. The arrival of the tribulation begins the final 7 years of the age of Adam. The Bible divides the tribulation into two relatively equal halves. The first half begins with the signing of the previously mentioned covenant. Shortly afterwards, God's two witnesses will appear on the Temple Mount and will tell the Hebrew clergy to restart the daily sacrifice in the temple. They will then guarantee divine protection such that no one will be able to interrupt the services so long as they stand on the Temple Mount. The Bible says their time for preaching and protecting the Temple Mount will be measured as 1,260 days, which is 42 biblical months or 3.5 years. During this time, they will preach clothed in sackcloth. And if anyone tries to harm them, the Bible tells us that fire will flow from out of their mouths to kill any perpetrators. They will have the power to stop the rain, turn water into blood, and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they desire, at least according to Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 6. The point to be realized here is that once the 7 years of the soul harvest is complete, things in this world will begin taking a decidedly dreadful turn for the worse with regards to God's people. The first half of the tribulation will find all Christians and Jews still on the earth, but the temperature in society will be turned up against them, and persecution of God's people will begin to ramp up in earnest. When the man who will become the Antichrist gets the covenant signed, he will go on a worldwide 40-day victory tour because he will have accomplished something no one in modern history has been able to do, achieve peace between Israel and the Arabs. In fact, I'll give you a side story which illustrates just how difficult this has been to attain. Back when the U.S. president was Bill Clinton, he got Ehud Barak, the leader of the Labor Party in Israel, under Prime Minister Shimon Peres's government, and Yasser Arafat, who was the leader of the Palestine National Authority, to meet together at Camp David for a summit in 2000. President Clinton used his strong influence and charisma to get Israel to agree to 95% of the Palestinian demands for establishing their own independent state. The newly proposed state's borders would encompass 75% of the area of the West Bank and the whole of the Gaza Strip. Israel's offer included the return of refugees, compensation for those not permitted to return to their previous lands, and full custodianship over the Al-Aqsa, also known as the Dome of the Rock, as well as control over three of Jerusalem's four Old City quarters. It was everything the PLO stated that they wanted at the time. Despite all that, Yasser Arafat got up in the middle of the night and left without saying a word or attempting to make any counteroffer. God foreknew that no peace deal would happen before the time of the Antichrist. The truth is that the Jews could have offered anything short of their national demise, and the PLO would still have refused the deal. At some point, while taking his victory lap around the world, Satan will come to the Antichrist and offer him the exact same three things he offered to Jesus. And, unlike Christ, the man who will become the Antichrist will instead accept the devil's offer, and that's the moment when the persecution of both Christians and Jews will rapidly increase. During this meeting between Satan and the Antichrist, God will install his two witnesses on the Temple Mount, and they will convince the Hebrews to restart the daily sacrifices in the temple, which of course will infuriate the Antichrist. But so long as God's witnesses are present, the Temple Mount will be protected. Now, recall back in audio teaching sermon number 55 that the door inhibiting satanic forces from inhabiting the physical realm was closed. Guess what? God will once more open that door towards the midpoint of the tribulation. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7 tells us that when the witnesses have finished their testimony, that a beast will be released from out of the bottomless pit, will fight a battle with them, and will successfully overcome and then kill them. This marks the day when evil will once again be permitted to occupy the physical realm. The opening of this door coincides to when Noah and his family climbed aboard the ark. Recall that God closed the door to evil back on that day. Noah and his family then remained on the ark for 8 days before the fountains of the deep opened up and the rain began falling. We don't know what was happening outside the ark during these 8 days, as the Bible does not give us any details. However, upon the day when the two witnesses are killed, 8 days of what I refer to as unholy week will then commence. Remember, everything Jesus did during Holy Week was a prophecy depicting the actions the Antichrist will perform during unholy week. Holy Week ended with the undeniable resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Unholy Week will end with a fraudulent event depicting the resurrection of the Antichrist. When Jesus was resurrected in victory over death, hell, and sin, everything changed for the better for humanity. The sacrifice of Jesus ushered in eternal life for those who willingly chose to follow him. Therefore, when the Antichrist fakes his resurrection, it makes sense that everything will change for the worse for humanity. At the conclusion of the war in heaven, on the very same day when Satan and his demons are thrown down to earth, those fully fledged followers of Christ will be raptured up to heaven. We will pass Satan on our way up while he and his evil horde are being thrown down. Thus, when Satan's feet hit the ground, I assure you that all hell will be literally breaking loose on the earth. Returning to thought 2 of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9, it reads, "And they will kill you." Those Jews failing to reach Petra in time, and the followers of Christ who did not receive sufficient oil, will now be sought out and killed by Satan's forces. Thus, the murder of God's two witnesses marks the beginning of Unholy Week, which then ignites a war in heaven where Satan and his demons will fight God's angels for control. The war will last a total of 40 days, the same duration of the rising of the floodwaters. Just as those polluted by demonic DNA and those refusing entry into the ark died, Satan and his demons lose this war on the 40th day. The resulting carnage of the devil killing the Hebrews will be a near repeat of the Nazis killing nearly 50% of the Jews in the time surrounding World War II. Then, the Bible says, they will come after the other group of God's people, the Christian Gentiles. The Greek word we see for will kill that Jesus spoke is apoktenousin, and means to put to death, to slay, or to kill outright. This is not discussing some kind of violence from which death might result. No, this word delineates a form of premeditated, intentional killing, something we'd describe today as murder in the first degree. So after the war in heaven, Satan will be tossed down and will proceed with all possible vengeance, as he will know for certain that his days remaining are few. Thought 3 of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9 says, "And you will be hated by all nations." The word we see for hated is misumenoi, and means to detest on a comparative basis, especially to persecute and to renounce in favor of someone else. The word detest means to feel intense and often violent antipathy towards someone or something. This is the level of hatred those choosing to not renounce Christ will be experiencing at the hands of the rest of humanity. The word we find for nations, plural, is ethnon, and translates to the heathen and pagan people of the world. God's people will be on one side, and the demonically driven folks will be on the other. Thought 4 says it will be because of my name. The word we see for name is onoma, and means the full manifestation or revelation of someone's character. Those refusing to recognize legitimacy of the government of the Antichrist and instead embrace the authority of Jesus Christ will be persecuted even unto death for their beliefs. This second period of tribulation will result in the physical death of everyone who refuses to accept the mark of the beast. Unlike the popular movies you've seen on television and in theaters, there will not be anyone who will be able to hide out and hold out until the second coming of Jesus. No, no one will be able to avoid the reach of Satan during this terrible time. This is why gaining a full vessel of oil filled with the Holy Spirit is so critical in the coming days. There is not as much time left as you might think. This ministry started back in July of 2000, and I can now say that there are 2/3 fewer days remaining, as of today, than when it began. Folks, we are now officially less than 15 years away from the second coming of Jesus Christ. As of December of 2025, that means there are less than 5,500 days total remaining. That also means we are about 11 and a half years away from the rapture. So, we all have a little over a decade to get things perfectly right with Yahweh via His Son. Not much time at all. Hey, fellow disciples, we will continue with our discussion of the 24th chapter of Matthew in the next audio teaching lesson. In the meanwhile, keep your eyes tightly focused upon Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. So until next time, my beloved, this has been Pastor Jefferson, speaking in God's holy name and for His glory alone. Amen.